In the opening prayer of today's Mass, we prayed, Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours, through our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. So, the liturgy has us praying for our own liberty, for our freedom to serve God. We want to be free from all adversity so that unhindered in our mind and our body, we may pursue in freedom the things that belong to God. What is it that belongs to God that we are to pursue in freedom? Well, of course, everything belongs to God. There's nothing that exists that doesn't belong to him. If it weren't for God, there wouldn't be anything at all. You know, the Catholic doctrine on creation is that not only does God draw things out of nothingness by his own will and omnipotent power, but he also conserves them in existence. So that if God ceased to think about what he had created for even a moment, it would cease to exist. So creation isn't something that just happened at the very beginning. Creation is something that is conserved by God, his presence in the world. Of course, God is transcendent. He's not part of the world. And yet he is present to the world always because things continue to exist. So everything belongs to him. No matter what we've created, it belongs to him as well. But today's prayer, in a particular way, is pointing to something specific, because we already assume that everything belongs to God, but why does the prayer say that we should pursue the things that are his, the things that belong to him? Because there's certain things that belong to him more, you might say, more perfectly or more explicitly than other things. And that is more than anything, that would be the human heart, the human soul. Because we have been created in the image and likeness of God. And the image that's given to us in sacred scripture in the book of Genesis is that God takes the clay of the earth, the slime of the earth, and he breathes life into it. Adam receives his life directly from the breath of God. And so the Catholic doctrine on the creation of the human soul is, yes, it is the fruit of procreation, the cooperation of the mother and father, but the soul is created directly by God at the moment of conception. And so life, we talk about the gift of life. It is a gift from God. And this is why, you know, there are rules governing both the use of marriage, the marital act, and the bringing forth of new life into the world. It's not only sinful to artificially prevent conception, to interrupt to restrict God's power to create life, to refuse God the right, his right, absolute right, to create life according to his own rules, but it's also sinful to conceive life outside of the marital act, because this is something that's sacred to God. It's one of the most, human life and its origin is sacred to God. It's holy. Marriage is holy. The marital act is holy. Conception is holy, because God brings into existence not just something, but someone who is capable of knowing and loving God, and whose soul is, we would say, ab eternal. Eternal means no beginning and no end. We have a beginning, but we have no end. Once the soul is created, it exists forever. Inside the body and even beyond the body after death. And of course, we believe, as we'll see in the readings today, in the resurrection of the dead, our bodies will be restored to us at the last judgment. And so in a particular way the prayer today is talking about pursuing the life that God has given us, which is not just human life, But all of us who are born of woman, who are given the gift of life through our parents, but also through the power of God, without which there is no human life, we are also given the gift of supernatural life at our baptism. And the vocation that we receive at baptism, the destiny that we receive, is eternal life. The soul will exist forever, regardless of what happens after our death. But our call is to heaven. And that is the reason why we are here. This is why we learn in the catechism, or we should have learned in the catechism, that we are here to love, serve, and serve God in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next. That is our destiny. That's the reason why we are here. We ultimately have a purpose. And so the church, for example, will never compromise on the fact that human life belongs to God, ultimately. It doesn't belong to us. We can't create it arbitrarily. We don't have an absolute right to manipulate it. We can't end it, can't end innocent life. It belongs to God. It is his to give and his to take. And this is why the Catechism talks about, for example, in reference to the cross that infertile couples carry, recognizes this cross, and that there are legitimate means to overcome the cross of infertility. There are ways to help couples be fertile. However, human life is a gift. It is no one's right to have a child in an absolute way. Everyone has a right to marry and to have children if the laws of God are respected and marriage leads to that kind of fruitfulness. But it's not an absolute right. We don't have a right to step outside the boundaries of God and create life in virtue of fertilization or surrogate motherhood. These types of things are condemned by the church, and they will remain always so. They will never change, because life does not belong to us. It is God's. And this is why we can think about, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, how our Lord says, "This is my body, which is given up for you." Our Lord's body, because he is God, does belong to him. His life belongs to him, absolutely. Only Jesus can say, "My body belongs to me," absolutely. Only our Lord can say, "My life belongs to me," absolutely. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. And by his own authority, he says, "This is my body, which is given up for you." So he doesn't assert his right to possess his body and do absolutely what he wants to do with it, even though he has the right to do so, because he's God. By virtue of his authority, he lays down his life in order to secure for us our life. He dies to give us life. And so, you know, in the face of this great mystery which we celebrate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Eucharist, in which Jesus becomes really present on our altars, in which he offers himself in sacrifice for our sins and comes to us in Holy Communion, we should shudder at the words, if we ever say that, "This is my body. It's my body. I will do with it whatever I want." We should fall silent in the face of our Lord's words of sacrifice and offering. And so in the end, you know, as followers of Jesus, as we pursue in freedom of heart the things that belong to God, we are called to recognize his sovereign rights and his goodness by which we have received the gift of life and by which we return it back to him. God created us out of nothing. He's brought us into existence. He's given us an eternal destiny. And our response must be to give back to him what already belongs to him. We belong to him no matter what. In the end, we will go back to him. We came into this world naked, we will return naked with nothing. And ultimately, you know, there will be accountability. But what he wants from us is for us to freely give back to him what already belongs to him. St. John of the Cross and following him, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus say, love is returned by love alone. The only response to love is to love in return. And our Lord has loved us so much as to draw us out of nothingness and to give us an eternal destiny. And then because our eternal destiny was lost through sin, he chose to take upon himself our life, our wounded and broken life, in order to offer it as a sacrifice to God and to win back for us the life that we had lost. And so our response must be to follow that pattern, the pattern that we see in the Eucharist. Jesus becomes our bread. You know, the Bethlehem where Jesus was born means house of bread. Like at Bethlehem, Jesus comes down on our altars and becomes our food. He humbles himself. He remains present in this humble form. Becoming a baby wasn't humble enough. Now he hides his sacred humanity under the form of bread and wine. He humbles himself even further to become our food. And he does this in sacrifice for our sins. Our response must be to follow that pattern. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We follow his pattern. And the pattern, especially his life, is present for us in the most stupendous way in the mystery of the Eucharist. And so in today's readings, we read about, even in the Old Testament, the book of Maccabees, how the seven Maccabean brothers returned to God in a radical, heroic way what God had given to them. You know, the thing that's left out in this particular selection from the second book of Maccabees is the exhortation that the seven Maccabean brothers received from their mother before they were martyred, because all the brothers were dragged before their persecutors with their mother, and they martyred the seven brothers in front of their mother, and she exhorted them to be faithful to God. They were being forced to eat pork in disobedience to the law of God so that they would conform to the religious laws of the pagans who were persecuting them. And the mother said, you don't belong to me, you belong to God. And I would rather be separated from you now for a short time than to be separated from you for all eternity because of your lack of fidelity to God. And so she exhorted them to persevere in their suffering. You know, we all know that a mother's love in human terms is stronger than anything else in this world. There's nothing, you know, when a mother loves as a mother should love, there's nothing more iconic of true love than that. And yet her love was true love for her sons. And yet it went beyond the natural boundaries of motherly love, because life belongs to God. All of our lives belong to him. And so the third brother, you know, he talks about how his hands were given to him by God, and that if, you know, he wouldn't use his hands to eat the pork. So he said, take my hands from me. They belong to God, and he'll give them back in the end because they're his anyway. So I'm not worried about what you take from me. I will receive them back from the Lord. You know, and our Lord uses that hyperbole in the gospel about, you know, if your eye or your arm is the cause of your sin, cut it off, tear it out. Because it's better to enter heaven blind or lame than to go to hell with all your members. Because whatever happens in this life, God will give us a complete restoration in the next if we are faithful to Him. He gives us the grace to do this because Jesus is the one that has done this. And St. Paul says in the second reading from today, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through His grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Because our life comes from God, and because we have received a new life in grace through the life of Jesus Christ that He has offered for us by our baptism and especially by the Eucharist, we participate in Jesus' own life. And so whatever is difficult, whatever is a source of temptation or sadness or anxiety or anger in our life can be placed in the heart of Jesus, especially through the sacrament of penance and the Eucharist, so that Christ Himself becomes our encouragement. Our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through a life of prayer and the sacraments, Jesus is present in our life. He is present particularly in the crosses. This is why it was possible for the Maccabean brothers, you know, because they had faith in the coming of the Redeemer. They didn't have the same grace that we do, but they did have grace. They were able to do what we hardly can imagine. And throughout the centuries, we've had martyrs and continue to have martyrs in places like the Middle East and Syria and Iraq and other places. They're able to persevere in their faith, even under great trial and distress and persecution and suffering because of the presence of Jesus Christ. It's not a natural power, it's a supernatural power that we can count on if we're doing everything that we can to give our lives back to God. Ultimately, our Lord in today's gospel, He corrects the Sadducees, who are the particular party among the teaching class of the Jews who denied the resurrection of the dead. Our Lord firmly corrected them that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. All of us belong to God. All of us have an eternal destiny. All of us are called out of nothingness into life, and our souls will exist forever. Our time in this life is an opportunity for us to pursue the things that belong to God. And so let us pray in a particular way. You know, there will always be persecution. You know, being a Christian, being a true follower of Christ will never, you know, be a way of winning friends and influencing people. It never has been. It never will be. Our Lord told His disciples on the road to Calvary, you know, if they do this to the wood while it is green, what will they do to it when it is dry? You know, you can expect to be treated the way I was treated. While that's true, we pray for our liberty, to be free from adversity so that we can practice our holy religion according to the law of God. And we should expect the providence of God, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of difficulty, even when, you know, the monster of the secular state wants to put limits on our ability to do that, to worship God freely. And of course, this is a very real danger. It's one that we experience already. People's rights to educate their children, to keep their children free from scandal, to Catholic hospitals, to obey the law of God. All these things are in play and are at risk. And it will continue to become more difficult to live in freedom in this country and elsewhere. But we need to be heroic. We need to follow God's law without compromise, because it is the conviction of those who are faithful followers of Jesus, as it always has been. It was the conviction of the martyrs that proclaimed Jesus Christ during times of persecution. You know, people had hope. St. John's Apocalypse is all about the hope that the followers of Jesus ought to have in the midst of persecution. It is the conviction of those who believe in Jesus Christ that proclaims to the world that God has the last word, that Jesus Christ is the only answer, and that the church is the future. So we pray then that we will have the freedom and the freedom from adversity to pursue the things that belong to God, so that we might give back to Him what already belongs to Him, what He has given to us, the gift of life.